How do we cultivate gratitude every day and not just on Thanksgiving? We're visiting with a very familiar voice about the subject of gratitude this morning as we welcome Nancy DeMoss-Wolgemuth from Revive Our Hearts and author of Choosing Gratitude, Your Journey to Joy, to our program this morning. And good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Deb. So glad to be talking with you this morning.
Yeah, good to have you with us as well, Nancy. So I thought it'd be important to maybe kind of start off with, what's a good working definition of the word gratitude as we kind of get started so that we know where we're going?
Yeah, well, certainly it involves just recognizing and then acknowledging the blessings that come into our lives. Mm-hmm. So having eyes that are open to see the mercies of God, His kindness, the kindness of others, and then not just thinking, oh, that's really nice, I'm grateful for that, but actually expressing the gratitude. And of course, Christ-centered gratitude, you know, you can see gratitude on Hallmark cards or that doesn't necessarily involve the Lord. But for us as Christians, we realize that every good gift comes from the Lord and that we owe the ultimate debt of gratitude to Him for His grace in our lives. So I love that little equation, guilt, our sinfulness, plus grace, God's mercies to us, equals gratitude. Mm. So when we realize how sinful we are, how undeserving, and then that God pours His grace into our lives, how can you be anything other than grateful, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Nancy, this has been a difficult season for many people, and sometimes it's hard to be grateful in difficult seasons. So how do we live that out? How have you lived that out?
Well, no kidding about the difficult season, 2020, like who could have scripted this.
Yeah.
You can't make these things up. But, you know, this has been a hard year for all of us in different ways. And in our case, my sweet husband and I, we're just celebrating 5 years of marriage now. And in addition to coronavirus and all the implications that we've all experienced, my husband has been diagnosed 2 times this year since March with 2 different kinds of cancer.
Wow.
With no background, no history. Just kind of out of the blue, started like cancer and COVID came right at the same time into our lives. And he's currently going through chemo. So we've really had tested our commitment to gratitude and say, you know, he's had just scores of needle sticks and all kinds of things that have been unpleasant. He had another blood draw this morning, and more chemo treatments coming up. And we're very grateful for a good prognosis. But early on, we didn't know if we'd be planning a funeral when they talked about some of the things they thought this could be. And so we just said early on, we are purposing in the midst of all this to believe what we've said all our lives, and that is that God is good. God can be trusted to write our story. In fact, we wrote a book with that title last year, never envisioning what this year would be. Mm. And one of the things, Ken and Deb, we did early on in this journey, and I'm so glad we did, we have a sunroom that's got big windows, but then frames around each of those windows. Mm-hmm. And we started each night, back when Robert started chemo, I got a basket full of colorful Post-it notes, all different kinds of colors and colorful pens. And each night we sit down and we fill out 1 or 2 or 3 of those Post-it notes. Robert does some, I do some, if we have any guests at the house that evening, they do some. And we just write down something that we're grateful for from that day. And it could be a friend who sent an encouraging email or who called us. Mm. It could be we've had some beautiful late summer weather as we've come into November. And so we're thankful for warm days when we know winter's around the corner. Somebody perhaps who brought a meal or just encouraged us in some way, a scripture that was meaningful to us. And then we have posted those Post-it notes all around this sunroom, and it's become our gratitude room, our gratitude wall. And you just walk past that room, there are hundreds of them now, and they're just stuck to the window frames, and you can't help but smile just at how many goodnesses. It's like count your blessings, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So I'll tell you, that gratitude room and the hearts that it's forced us to have has been a life preserver. for our hearts, for our minds in this very stormy year.
Yeah.
And it's not over. You know, there's been political stuff and social unrest and upheaval on every front and families divided because of, you know, political issues. And wow. But when we keep lifting our eyes up and saying, thank you, Lord, for even the hard things.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. We're going to give thanks in everything. And it's been a huge lifter to our hearts to just say, Lord, you are good and we give you thanks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the subtitle to the book, Choosing Gratitude, is Your Journey to Joy. How do you connect the two? How can choosing to be grateful lead us to true joy?
Well, it absolutely does. And I believed that when I wrote that book, but I believe it even more now that we've been through most of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we choose to be grateful or not to be grateful. And if we choose to whine rather than worship, we're also choosing not to have joy. And so I've watched, Robert has watched, and we've seen how when we choose to be grateful to the Lord and to others for their kindnesses to us, mm-hmm. it brings joy to our hearts. It brings peace. It brings joy in the midst of circumstances that may not be joyful circumstances. But it says my joy is not tethered to an election or political mm-hmm. events or social events or how well my family events or whether people love us or whether we get a good, I'm waiting right now for a blood report on Robert today. He's had a lot of anemia symptoms and, you know, dizziness and just things that are hard to navigate. But our joy is not connected to that. Our joy is connected to something that never changes, and that is a someone. It's the goodness of God. It's the faithfulness of Christ. It's the fact that we are adopted into God's family, that he loves us, that he is at work in this world, that heaven rules. We've said this to each other 1,000 times this year. Heaven rules. We look at each other and we say, honey, heaven rules. Well, our joy is connected to those things that cannot be changed. And so when we focus on the goodness of God and his mercies and his unchanging characteristics in gratitude, when we give thanks for those things, what it does is kind of displace the grousing, the whining, the sadness. And it's not to say, I mean, we've shed tears this year. It's not a Pollyanna thing like, oh, just like everything's okay.
Right.
Everything isn't okay here on this earth or in our lives, probably in yours right now also. But underlying all the things that aren't okay is underneath are the everlasting arms. And we are secure. We have hope. Our joy is not found in this life or in things that can be taken away from us, but it's found in something secure and solid that can never be taken away from us. And that says we can have joy in the midst of really stormy and hard circumstances because God is good, God is faithful, and God is writing a story that in the end is going to be the story we would have wanted him to write if we knew now what God knows.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So, Nancy, I would think, too, the way that you're voicing your gratitude really does affect those around you as well and around us. When we take the time to vocalize, to really say it out loud in front of others, that really has an impact on, can have an impact on your family, your workplace, you know, the community.
Yeah.
So how important is it for us to just say it, not just think it, but really say it?
Yeah, it helps us to say it because we're with, you know, the word of our testimony, they overcame the evil one. So when we say it, we're counseling our own hearts. But you're right, we're also creating an environment around us that is conducive to their joy and their peace. So who likes to be around a griping, whining person? You know, we want the freedom to whine and gripe, but if you get around, whether it's a family member or a coworker who's always like, you know, everything's going wrong, everything is negative, griping about their husband, griping about the weather, griping about the government, the whatever, we don't like to be around that. It's toxic, right?
Yeah.
And so when we verbalize gratitude while still acknowledging that things are hard, I have a precious friend who this week is burying her 9-year-old son, who just died of a brain tumor, has had it for the last 2 years. Horrific and so hard, and I get weepy thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not going to come up to her and say, oh, everything's okay, just praise the Lord. You know,
right.
It's not, we're not talking about that. We're talking about coming around and loving people well, weeping with those who weep, rejoicing with those who rejoice, but also just verbalizing our gratitude for God's goodness and his faithfulness in the midst of this broken, sinful, fallen world that is imploding. But that's what Jesus, the scripture tells us, the things of this world, they are passing away.
Yes.
But the faithfulness of God, it endures forever. So when we come alongside of people, even if they're hurting, and we talk about the goodness of God, even through our tears, this ministers grace, it ministers healing, it ministers wholeness. And I've seen this sweet mama do that herself as her husband, as their son has been in the dying process. I've seen them just verbalize. Our hearts are tethered to the goodness of God. And that has ministered grace to me in our hard places. It's ministered grace to others. So yes, so important to speak it. And it really does change the environment around us when we verbalize our gratitude.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen. And I think of that's some of the things that we're supposed to store up, right? Those are those treasures that we're supposed to store up so that we can remember those things. And those are the important things, you know, in our lives, that we need to do that and to store up those things. And so this is a great resource, Choosing Gratitude, Your Journey to Joy, by Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, who's our guest here this morning. And we just thank you so much. Can I just pray for your husband real quick before we go? Is that all right?
Thank you, Ken. I'd be so grateful for that.
You betcha. Father, I just come before you, lift up my brother to you as he is going through a difficult time. Also my sister, as well, as they are just struggling through this time. We know that you're in control. We know that. But we also know that there are difficult times and we need to trust in you. So I pray that you would be their portion right now, Lord. Pray that you would just bring good results to this blood test, that the chemo would work, and that you would be glorified through that healing, and that on the other side, they can look and they can have a testimony of saying that I saw you work through the whole situation. And that we know that ultimately we're going to be with you regardless. And so we just thank you for that promise and that hope that we have in Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. What a sweet gift. And I look forward to Robert being able to hear this conversation and that prayer as well.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Ken and Deb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks
You're
for welcome. Joining us this morning, Nancy. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Blessings on you.
You Bye-bye. Too. Bye-bye.